Welcome to the Governance Podcast, episode 21, with me, Mike Simmons, and
me, Dawn Harrison.
Good to see you, Dawn, again today. And to say to those who are listening, the Governance Podcast is a partnership between the Diocese of Chichester, Chelmsford, and Liverpool. Dawn's from Liverpool, I'm from the other two, but it is suitable and appropriate for governors from any diocese across all Church of England schools in particular. And we hope to be as relevant as we possibly can in supporting you in your incredible role and challenging role as a governor in 2024. Now, yesterday, I went to an online virtual meeting of the DGG, otherwise known as the Diocesan Governor Group. And I thought to myself, I wonder if anyone out there knows that there is such a group and what it is about and what it seeks to achieve. Even though I go personally to these meetings twice a year online and one in person.
Correct.
Something like that. And Dawn is the new co-chair of DGG.
I am.
Just to remind you, the Diocesan Governor Group. What is this DGG and what does it sort of seek to do?
Thanks, Mike. And it was great to see you on the virtual meeting the other day, yesterday. So the Diocesan Governance Group is a mouthful. So I'll use DGG and every so often keep reminding listeners that what it stands for. So the Diocesan Governors Group is a group of individuals that do governance role across all the 44 different dioceses that we have in England. So in theory, we can have 44 people. Sometimes online, we get a few more. And post-COVID, Mike said, we've moved to 2 meetings online. So the spring and the summer term are online. And the autumn term is a face-to-face meeting. And why does it exist? I think it exists as a way of governance advisors that work in their own diocese, having a network of people that do similar jobs in other dioceses, because it can be a bit of an isolating role as a governance advisor in a diocese. I am the only one in my diocese. Mike, I think you're the only one in your diocese.
Yep, that's
so,
right.
It can be a little bit of an isolating role. So it's a way of us together and trying to keep up to date with some of the changing landscape that is education at the moment.
So it's kind of helping people to network and to talk through some of those issues that come up in terms of the changing landscape or the changing guidance or the issues that we all face.
So I see it as having twofold. One is a network group of people that we can call upon, we can contact each other, we can support each other. So firstly, I see it as a network group. Secondly, I see it as a group where we can get information so that we as governance advisors stay up to date with the current landscape. So we work very closely, as you would expect, with the Church of England Education Office. Robin Ford, who works for the Church of England Education Office, is one of their lead, if not their lead policy advisor, developer. She is always at our meetings, and if she can't come to our meeting, she will do us a briefing so that we know everything that's coming out of the Church of England Education Office. But it's not just a one-way street. Robin is there also to hear what questions we might have, what clarity we need, and she can take that directly to the Church of England Education Office. So it's a way that the Church of England Education Office can work directly with its diocese and its governance advisors. We also do work closely with Department of Education, and occasionally we'll have people from the Department of Education at the meetings to do briefings if there's been big updates or things that we need to know. And the Diocesan Governors Group, so DGG, are also trying to work a lot more closely with two other organisations, so the National Governance Association, so the NGA, and the Confederation of Schools Trust CST. If you put them into Google, they come up really easily. And both of those organisations put out information for schools. They put out draft policies for governors, role descriptions for members and for directors, for local governing boards. So they're a really good source of information for our schools. And what DGG is trying to do is trying to help those organisations with that Christian distinctiveness. So trying to make sure that everything, the policies that come out of there, work for us as Church of England schools, because we are Church of England schools account for about a third of our schools nationally. So we have quite a voice, really, or Church of England schools have a voice, and we need to be using that voice.
So we're seeking through these meetings to both influence each other and what happens on the ground in supporting governors who are listening to the podcast in their roles, but also to influence organisations and the government when they're seeking through consultation or just discussion to get a view. So in a sense, we are having the opportunity to represent the governors on the ground in
Absolutely,
a
Nick.
context where it can make a difference to policy or guidance or whatever. So yesterday, we were recording this on a Friday, so it was a Thursday. What were we covering? What topics did we sort of look at during the few hours? Yes, it was a few hours online.
I know. We do keep them to a maximum of 3 hours when we're online, because for all of our sanities, slightly longer for the face-to-face day. So yesterday we had three key topics. So our first topic was appointing foundation governors. And we talked through all the different ways that different dioceses appoint foundation governors. We learned some of the positives, some of the negatives. We talked through what to do with the declining clergy numbers and how that affects ex officio. We talked about how we can better recruit foundation governors, how we can better support foundation governors. So it was a real big discussion on foundation governors and how we appoint and how we support.
So there was some interesting discussion, I thought, that not all dioceses have the same policy around foundation governors, but there was a kind of general similarity as well. That sounds confusing in the opposite ends of a spectrum, but I think that really was what it was, wasn't it?
No, I think you're absolutely right. There was a huge similarity that all dioceses massively value foundation governors and that relationship with the church that they bring, and that Christ and embedding that Christian distinctiveness. And that was similar across all the dioceses. What was different was how we appoint, how we recruit. So that was, yeah, so big similarities, but also differences. But I think that's okay, because that reflects education, it reflects schools, it reflects churches, reflects dioceses, really.
And I just to encourage schools that are struggling to find foundation governors, that's kind of pretty general right across the country. And we
Absolutely.
grapple from time to time, I think probably at least once a year as a group, on how to help meet the vacancy need that there is. I'm afraid we don't usually come up with positive solutions, partly because it's different in different areas, but partly because it is a lot of people to try and find in from diminishing congregations and other issues. So I think I'd want to reassure people that that's not just being ignored on a local basis, and it's not being ignored on a national basis. And if we get some bright ideas, we will certainly be pursuing them. You
And
said there are.
equally, if listeners get some bright ideas, please contact either Mike or myself. We are open to ideas.
Absolutely. So that's great. So you said there were a couple of other things. So briefly, what were they?
We looked at diversity. Linking to the Church of England document Lament to Action and all the things that schools need to be doing and should be doing, and how we represent a more diverse community, and thinking of diversity in its broadest possible sense. So BMEI, as well as race and gender and ability and disability and accessibility. So we really push the definition of diversity as broad as we could, because that was what we thought was appropriate.
You might need to give the acronym BME, you said.
So the definition, the BME is Black and Minority Ethnic. So BME, that what I rolled off before, Black and Minority Ethnic.
Essentially, what we're talking about in diversity is people of colour, people of gender, people of age, the widest possible idea about what we need to be addressing in governance about diversity. Because if you look around your governing body table, too many are, well, I'm not going to define what they are. Look around your governing board table again, think, how diverse is that group, this group, in meeting the needs of a very diverse community within the school and outside of the school, which, as somebody was saying yesterday, people come back and say, we've got no people of colour in our community. Well, you have on your TV screens, and you have in social media, and children in particular will be accessing and be living in a world that is diverse, and therefore there needs to be an element of that within the school. Anyway, I'm getting into the need, and maybe we'll have a podcast on that at some point.
And then the final topic that we looked at yesterday was the Flourishing Schools Network, and the document that the Church of England Education Office have put out, Our Hope for a Flourishing School System. So we looked at some of the questions in there for trusts and questions for dioceses and school leaders, and how we can be incorporating that into our work. So quite a few meaty topics in, I know 3 hours online is a long time, but you know, just
Yeah, it did my head in, I have to say. What one thing did you take away from yesterday's meeting, then?
I think I was reflecting last night on it, because I think you get a different angle when you co-chair a meeting than when you sit in a meeting. And I think for me, reflecting on it, we are all a variety of individuals. We come with very different gifts and skills, but actually, as a group of people that met online, we are the body of Christ. We can't manage without each other. We all have different gifts. We all have different skills. And different people were chipping in at different points, and we needed and valued every single voice that was on that call, as much as we, as the Church of England, as Christians, need to value every single person, because we are the body of Christ. Without somebody, we don't make sense.
Yep, that's really good to remind ourselves of when you're in a meeting like that, and the contributions of each other need to be respected and reflected on. And it's not just in the meeting, is it? It's in the days and weeks that follow. So watch out, guys. You may find us just reflecting and saying something in some of our training, or on future podcasts that have come out of those conversations. It's very likely, because they are quite developmental in the way in which they impact us all. So it was a long 3 hours, but
It was,
worth it.
and then interestingly, there was an announcement late, not long after we'd finished on the call yesterday, that there's a new the government have released a new handbook for governance. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, Mike. I don't know if you've had a chance to have a quick glimpse over it.
I have
Bless you.
a what you might call a skim read, and it's going to take a bit of taking in for those of us who are supporting governing boards, and for I hope governors will access it. And so there are some very significant changes, although on the basically it's saying the same sort of things. So if I highlight one or two things quickly before we finish. They are now two separate guides, and they're not handbooks anymore. They're governance guides. And one is for multi-academy trusts, and one is for the maintained schools. So, whichever your context, you need to, I guess, access those online, because it is an online document that, although you can download individual pages, you can't, there's no book to download or purchase. So that's a difference as well. Simply searching Google for a governance guide, and I think you'll find it comes up. If you're members of the NGA, the National Governors Association, they will have sent out, they have sent out actually more than one communication last night and
And this
today,
morning.
telling you about this change, and you've got links there, and they're actually telling you that something a little bit about it. There's an interesting end to the document in that it includes a list of statutory policies which were available elsewhere, but it's useful that the two different sectors, as it were, can look at their lot list in the context of the guide. And there's more information about things like head teachers reporting and chairs action, a limiting of the understanding of chairs action. But I look at it from a church school perspective, and I noticed two things really that I'd like to point out to you as we let's remind ourselves about this new guide. The first is the core functions of the governing body. You would all be able to recite those off to me, I would hope. I've tried that in training sessions. People not always can do that, but they've been simplified. And in fact, that's a mark of the entire document, well, web pages, that the language has been simplified and reduced, even though, if you're like me, I have gone and I have created a PDF of all of the pages and it's 100 pages. But don't let that worry you, it's quite a large typeset. So the three are similar to the ones we've known, but they've added two derived directly from the school governance regulations 2013. So they've always been there. And they're about acting with integrity, objectivity, and honesty, and secondly, being open about the decisions and actions that, as governors, we take. So
Interesting.
that's the first thing I thought I'd bring to your attention. But the second one is probably more important to us as church school governors, although everything else is important to us. It says that of schools with a religious character, which are Church of England schools, governing bodies must set the school's vision. That's one of the core things, but we must do it in line with the school's mission, which is set out by the relevant religious authority. And I'm taking that to mean that a school's vision, that theologically rooted Christian vision we talk about within the SIAMS context, therefore the whole context of the school, needs to be in line with the diocesan education vision and the Church of England vision for education. Now that's not new. I'm sure, Dawn, you've been saying that to governing bodies as such, and I have, but now it's set in this guide,
Handbook.
which gives it a little bit more authority from the Department for Education's perspective. And there are other related issues, or things that relate direct to diocese and the Church of England in this guide that I don't think were in the original handbook, so or the last handbook. So we'll be unpacking some of that, and it may me we'll talk a little bit more about that in the incoming days, because it is necessary for us to really take note of this guide and its various parts as we do our governance effectively.
So just before we finish this podcast, Mike, at the DGG yesterday, you talked about a new Grove booklet. Is it worth making listeners aware of that?
I'm always happy to talk about Grove Books, the education series anyway. I am chair of the board that oversees the four times a year texts that come out that are available from grovebook.co.uk/education, or you can get there somehow on that website. And yes, there is a new book coming out in about 2 weeks, I think. And watch this space for launch events of that after Easter. And yes, it's, well, I'm bound to say that it's a very important book that I'd like everybody to have a copy of. And it's called Governance in a Christian Manner. And I guess you might ask me, Dawn, why is it important to me? Well, it's because I wrote it. So I obviously am keen that governors access this. It actually was derived from the science framework and Margaret James' book on the science framework, that where she talked about education for in a Christian manner and inspection in a Christian manner.
Christian
So
man.
this is governance in a Christian manner, and it's to try and help us to think about how we do governance as Christians or as those who are governors of church schools. But there's lots of references that enable governors from non-church schools as well. So we try to be as inclusive as possible. So yeah, watch this space, go to Grove Books, and you'll find it online, not just yet, but within the next couple of weeks,
Look
as
forward
I
to reading it.
thank you. I'm always well willing to do a signed copy because you never know. At
Oh,
$4.95, I think it's $4.95 each, they may become worth much more in the longer term, so we'll see. So thank you very much for listening today. Thank you, Dawn, for filling us in on the DGG, the Governors
Douse and Governors Group.
Diocesan Governors Group. There's some mouthfuls in education, aren't there, in terms of these acronyms. And hopefully that was helpful for you to get to know some of the things that some of us are doing to support you, but also the launch of this new governance guide from the DfE, which is important for us to all take note of. So thank you for joining us. We hope to see you next or hear from you, or please let us know any questions you've got, that sort of thing. But do join us for the next podcast. So sign up so that you get reminded. That's really important. We'll close now with a prayer. Dawn.
Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for each and every one of our foundation governors, for our governing bodies, for our schools, for our pupils. Thank you for the network of the DGG. May we all be mindful that we are part of the body of Christ, that we all have gifts and skills, thoughts and opinions that are useful and helpful. For we ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks very much, and until next time, goodbye.
Goodbye.